hours. As he pretends to listen carefully, I promise him and myself that I'll be much more relaxed tomorrow. Chapter 66. Tessa. Harden parks as close to the coffee house as he can manage, but the campus is crowded since everyone has returned from Christmas break. He curses the entire time he circles each parking lot, and I try not to laugh at his annoyance. It's quite adorable.
"Give me a bag,"
Harden says when I get out of the car. I hand it to him with a smile and thank him for the thoughtful gesture. It's pretty heavy. Manageable, but heavy. It feels strange being back on campus. So much has changed and happened since I was last here. The cold wind whips against my skin, and Harden pulls a beanie over his head before zipping his jacket up all the way. We rush through the parking lot and down the street. I should have brought a thicker jacket and gloves and even a hat for myself. Harden was right when he said I shouldn't wear the dress, but there is no way I am admitting that. Harden looks adorable with his hair hidden under the beanie and his cheeks and nose are red from the cold. Only Harden would look even more attractive in this harsh weather.
"There he is."
He points to Landon as we walk inside the coffee shop. The familiarity of the small space calms my nerves, and I smile as soon as I see my closest friend sitting at a small table waiting for me. Landon smiles when he spots us, and when we get near, he greets us.
"Good morning."
"Morning," I chirp back.
"I'll get in line,"
Harden mumbles and heads to the counter. I didn't expect him to stay or get my coffee, but I'm glad he does. We don't have any classes together this semester, and I'll miss seeing him since I've gotten used to seeing him all day.
"Ready for the new semester?"
Landon asks when I take a seat across from him. The chair squeaks against the tile floor, drawing attention to us, and I smile apologetically before taking a good look at Landon. He's tried a new hairstyle, pushing his hair up off his forehead, and it looks really good on him. As I look around the coffee shop, I begin to realize I probably should have just worn jeans and a sweatshirt. I'm the only person in the place who's remotely dressed up, save for Landon, in his light blue button-down shirt and khakis. "Yes and no," I tell him, and he agrees.
"Same. How are things?"
He leans across the table to whisper,
"You know, between you two."
I look over and see Harden has his back to us, but the barista's face is in a deep scowl. She rolls her eyes as he hands her his debit card, and I wonder what he could have done to her to irritate her so much this early in the day. "Good, actually. How are things with Dakota? It feels much longer than a week since we've seen each other."
"Good. She's preparing for New York."
"That is so amazing. I'd love to go to New York. I can't imagine what the city is like."
"Me too."
He smiles, and I want to tell him not to go, but I know I can't.
"I haven't made my mind up yet,"
he says, answering my thoughts.
"But I want to go and be close to her. We've lived so far for so long. But I love WCU and don't know if I want to be away from my mom and Ken to go to a huge city where I know absolutely no one, except her, of course."
I nod and try to be encouraging despite myself. "You would do amazing there. You could go to NYU and the two of you could get an apartment," I say.
"Yeah, I just don't know yet." "Know what?"
Harden interrupts, setting my coffee in front of me but not sitting down.
"Never mind. I've got to go. My first class begins in 5 minutes on the opposite side of campus,"
he says, and I cringe at the thought of running late on the first day of new classes. "Okay, I'll see you after yoga. It's my last class," I tell him. And he surprises me by leaning down and planting a kiss on my lips, then my forehead.
"I love you. Be careful being bendy,"
he says, and I get the feeling that if his cheeks weren't red from the cold, they would be now. His eyes shift to the floor when he remembers Landon is sitting across from us. Public displays of affection are definitely not his thing. "I will. I love you," I tell him, and he gives Landon an uncomfortable head nod before walking toward the door.
"That was weird."
Landon lifts his eyebrows and takes a drink of his coffee. "Yeah, it was," I laugh, and rest my chin on my hand and sigh happily.
"We should get going to religion,"
Landon says, and I grab my bag from the floor and follow him outside. Luckily, we don't have a long walk to our first class. I'm excited about world religion. It should be very interesting and thought-provoking, and having Landon there is an added bonus. When we enter the room, we aren't the first students to arrive, but the front row is completely empty. Landon and I sit down in the front center and take our books out. It feels good to be back in my element. Academics has always been my thing, and I love that Landon feels the same. We wait patiently as the room fills with students, most of whom are obnoxiously loud. The compactness of the classroom doesn't help with the noise either. At last, a tall man who looks too young to be a professor strides in and immediately launches into his lesson.
Good morning, everyone. As most of you know by now, my name is Professor Soto. This is World Religion. You may get bored a few times, and I can promise you that you'll learn a heap of facts that you'll never actually use in the real world. But hey, what is college for?
He smiles and everyone laughs. Well, this is different.
So let's get started. There is no syllabus for this course. We will not be following a strict outline. That isn't my style. But you'll learn all that you need to know by the end date. 75% of your grade will come from a journal that you'll be required to keep. And I know you're thinking, what does a journal have to do with religion? It doesn't, per se, but in a way it does. In order to study and really understand any form of spirituality, you have to be open to the idea of anything and everything. Keeping a journal will help with that, and some of the things I'll have you write about will involve topics that people aren't comfortable with, topics that are very controversial and uncomfortable for some. But all the same, I have high hopes that everyone will leave this class with an open mind and maybe a little knowledge.
He beams and unbuttons his jacket. Landon and I both turn to look at each other at the same time.
No syllabus?
Landon mouths. A journal? I reply silently. Professor Soto takes a seat at the large desk in the front of the room and pulls a bottle of water from his bag.
You can talk amongst yourselves until the end of class, or you can go ahead and go for today and we'll begin the real work tomorrow. Just sign the roster so I can see how many flakes we had that didn't show up for the first day,
he announces with a playful grin. The class howls and cheers before departing quickly. Landon shrugs at me, and we both stand up after the room is empty. We're the last to sign the attendance roster.
Well, I guess this is cool. I can call Dakota for a little while between classes,
he says, and packs his things. The rest of the day goes by quickly, and I'm eager to see Hardin. I've sent him a few text messages, but he has yet to respond. My feet are killing me as I make my way to the athletic building. I hadn't realized how far of a walk it would be. The smell of sweat invades my nostrils as soon as I open the main door, and I hurry to the locker room labeled with a stick figure in a dress. The walls are lined with thin red lockers, the metal showing through the chipped paint job. How do we know which locker to use? I ask a short brunette wearing a bathing suit. Just pick one and use the lock you brought, she says. Oh, of course I didn't think to bring a lock. Seeing my expression, she digs into her bag and hands me a small lock. Here, I have an extra. The combination is on the back. I haven't removed the sticker. I thank her as she walks out of the room. After I'm changed into a new pair of black yoga pants and a white t-shirt, I head out. As I walk down the hall to the yoga room, a group of lacrosse players pass by, several of them making a vulgar remark that I choose to ignore. All of them except one keeps moving.
Are you trying out for cheer next year?
The boy asks, his deep brown, almost black eyes looking me up and down. Me? No, I'm just on my way to yoga class, I stammer. We are the only people in this hall.
Oh, that's too bad. You would look phenomenal in a skirt.
I have a boyfriend, I announce, and try to move around him. He blocks me.
I have a girlfriend. What does that matter?
He smiles and takes a step, cornering me. He doesn't appear intimidating at all, but something about his cocky smile makes my skin crawl. I need to get to class, I say.
I can walk you. Or you can skip and I could show you around.
He puts his arm up on the wall next to my head, and I step backward with nowhere to go.
Get the fuck away from her.
Hardin's voice booms from behind me, and the creep turns his head to look at him. He looks more intimidating than ever in long basketball shorts and a black t-shirt with the sleeves cut off to reveal his tattooed arms.
I'm sorry, man. I didn't know she had a boyfriend.
He lies.
Did you not hear me? I said get the fuck away from her.
Hardin walks towards us, and the lacrosse player backs away quickly, but Hardin grabs hold of his shirt and slams him against the wall. I don't stop him.
Come near her again, and I'll crack your skull against this wall. Do you understand me?
He growls.
Yes,
the guy stutters and rushes down the hall. Thank God, I say, and wrap my arm around his neck. Why are you here? I thought you didn't need any more PE classes, I ask.
I decided to take one, and good thing.
He sighs and takes my hand into his. Which one? I ask. I can't imagine Harden being athletic at all.
Yours.
I gasp. You didn't.
Oh, yes, I did.
His anger seems to be dissolved as he smiles at my horrified expression. Chapter 67. Tessa. Harden makes it a point to walk slightly behind me, and I suddenly want to go back to the 10th grade when I would tie a sweater around my waist to hide myself. His voice is quiet as he says,
"You're going to need to get more of these pants."
I remember the last time I wore yoga pants in front of Harden, and the crude remarks he made, and those yoga pants weren't as tight as these. I laugh lightly and grab his hand to force him to walk next to me instead of behind me.
"You aren't seriously taking yoga."
No matter how hard I try to picture Harden posing, the image just won't come.
"Yeah, I am."
"You do know what yoga is, don't you?" I ask him as we walk into the room.
"Yes, Tessa, I know what it is, and I'm taking it with you."
He huffs. "Why?"
"It doesn't matter why. I just want to spend more time with you."
"Oh." I'm not convinced by his explanation, but I'm looking forward to seeing him try to do yoga, and the extra time with him doesn't hurt either. In the center of the room, the instructor sits on a bright yellow mat. Her curly brown hair piled on top of her head and her flower print shirt make a welcoming first impression.
"Where is everyone?"
Harden asks me as I grab a purple mat from the shelving unit on the wall. "We're early." I hand him a blue one and he examines it before tucking it under his arm.
"Of course we are."
He smiles sarcastically and follows me to the front of the room. I begin to lay my mat down directly in front of the instructor, but Harden grabs my arm to stop me.
"No way. We're sitting in the back,"
he says, and I see the instructor's face alight with a slight smile at his words. "What? Sitting in the back of the class for yoga? No, I always sit in the front."
"Exactly. We're sitting in the back,"
he repeats, and takes my mat from my hands to head to the back of the room. "If you were going to be grumpy, you shouldn't stay," I whisper to him.
"I'm not grumpy."
The instructor waves and introduces herself to us as Marla when we take a seat on our mats, and afterward Harden claims with certainty that she's high, which makes me giggle. This is going to be a fun class. However, as the room fills with girls in tight yoga pants and tiny tank tops who all seem to glance or stare at Harden, I get steadily less zen. Of course he's the only male. Luckily, he doesn't seem to notice the heaps of female attention he's receiving. Either that, or he's just very used to it. That has to be it. He gets attention like this all of the time. It's not like I blame the girls, but he's my boyfriend and they need to look elsewhere. I know some of the girls are looking at him because of his tattoos and piercings. They must be wondering why the heck he's taking a yoga class. "Okay, everyone, let's get started," the instructor calls through the room. She introduces herself as Marla to everyone else and gives a short speech about why and how she got into teaching yoga.
"She's never going to shut up, is she?"
Harden groans after a few minutes. "Eager to pose, are you?" I raise my brow.
"Pose what?"
he asks. "First we'll begin with a few stretches," Marla says just then. Harden sits still on the floor while everyone else mimics her actions. I can feel his eyes on me the entire time. "You are supposed to be stretching," I scold him, and he shrugs but doesn't move. Then, in a sing-song voice, Marla calls Harden out. "You in the back, join us."
Sure,
he mumbles, and uncrosses his long legs and stretches them in front and attempts to reach his toes. I force myself to look toward the front of the room and away from Harden to prevent the laughter that is fighting to surface. "You're supposed to touch your toes," the blonde girl next to Harden says.
"Trying,"
he says with an overly saccharine smile. Why did he even respond to her? And why am I so jealous? She giggles at him while the image of me slamming her head against the wall plays on repeat in my mind. I always lecture Harden about his temper, but here I am planning this whore's murder. And calling her a whore even though I don't know her. "I can't really see clearly. I'm going to move up," I tell Harden. He looks surprised as he speaks.
Why? I wasn't...
It's nothing. I just want to be able to see and hear what's going on, I explain, and drag my mat a few feet, stopping directly in front of Harden. I sit down and finish stretching with the group. I don't have to turn around to see the look on Harden's face.
Tess,
he hisses, trying to get my attention, but I don't turn around.
Tessa.
Let's begin with the downward dog pose. It's very simple and a basic one, Marla says. I bend down, place my palms against the mat, and look at Harden through the space between my stomach and the floor. He's standing still with his mouth open. Once more, Marla notices Harden's lack of movement. Hey, man, you thinking of joining us in yoga? She asks jokingly. If she does it again, I won't be surprised if he curses her out in front of the entire class. I close my eyes and shift my hips so I'm bending over completely.
Tessa,
I hear him say again.
Teresa.
What, Harden? I'm trying to concentrate, I say, looking at him again. He's now leaning over, attempting to do the pose, but his long body is bent at an awkward angle, and I can't help but burst into laughter.
Shut up, would you?
He snaps, and I laugh louder. You are terrible at this, I tease.
You are distracting me,
he says through his teeth. I am? How? I love having the upper hand with Harden because it doesn't happen often.
You know how, minx,
he whispers. I know the girl next to him can hear us, but I don't care. I hope she does. Move your mat, then. I purposely stand up to stretch and bend back down into the pose.
You move. You're the one toying with me.
Teasing, I correct him, using his words from minutes ago against him. Okay, let's move into a halfway lift, Marla says. I stand again, then bend at my waist, putting my hands flat on my knees and making sure my back is at a 90-degree angle.
You've got to be kidding me.
Harden groans at the sight of my bottom practically right in front of his face. I turn around to look at him and see that he isn't remotely doing the pose correctly. He has his hands on his knees, but his back is almost straight. Okay, now for the forward fold, our instructor calls, and I bend down, folding my body.
It's really like she wants me to fuck you right in front of everyone,
he says, and I snap my head up to make sure no one heard him. Shh, I plead, and hear him chuckle.
Move your mat or I'll say everything that I'm thinking right now,
he threatens, and I quickly stand up and move my mat back to its previous spot next to him.
Thought so,
he smirks. You can tell me those things later, I whisper, and he tilts his head to the side.
Trust me, I will,
Harden promises, and my stomach flutters. He doesn't participate much in the remainder of class, and the blonde ends up changing her spot halfway through, probably because Harden won't stop talking. We are supposed to be meditating, I whisper back to him and close my eyes. The room is silent except for Harden's quiet whispers.
This is so fucking lame,
he complains. You're the one who signed up for yoga.
I didn't know how lame it was. I'm literally about to fall asleep right here.
Stop whining.
I can't. You had to go and get me all worked up, and now I'm stuck sitting cross-legged, meditating with a hard-on in a room full of people.
Harden! I hiss louder than intended.
Shh!
Multiple voices attempt to silence me. Harden laughs, and I stick my tongue out at him, earning a dirty look from the girl to my right. Harden and me taking yoga together is not going to work. I'm going to get kicked out or fail.
We're dropping this class,
he says when the meditation is over. You are. I'm not. I need a PE credit, I inform him. Great first day, everyone. I look forward to seeing you later this week. Namaste, Marla says, dismissing us. I roll my mat up, but Harden doesn't bother. He just shoves his onto the shelf. Chapter 68. Tessa. The girl who gave me her extra lock is nowhere to be found when I return to the locker room, so I just put the lock back on the handle, and if she doesn't claim it back tomorrow, then I'll continue to use it and pay her or something. When I finish collecting my things, I meet Harden back in the hall. He's leaning against the wall with one foot perched on the wall behind him.
If you'd have taken any longer, I'd have barged in there,
he threatens. You should have. You wouldn't have been the only guy in there, I lie, and watch as his features change. I turn away from him, taking a few steps before he grabs my arm and spins me back around to face him.
What did you just say?
he demands, eyes half closed and primal. Teasing, I smirk, and with a huff he lets go of my arm.
I think you've done enough of that today.
Maybe, I smile. He shakes his head.
You clearly enjoy tormenting me.
The yoga relaxed me and cleansed my aura, I laugh.
Not mine,
he reminds me as we walk outside. The first day of the new semester went very well, even yoga, which ended up being amusing. Amusing is not my usual preference when it comes to academics, but having Harden there was nice. My religion class may be a problem because of the lack of structure, but I'm just going to try to go with the flow so I don't drive myself insane.
I have some work to do for a few hours, but I'll be finished by dinner time,
Harden tells me. He's been working a lot lately.
That hockey game is tomorrow, right?
He asks. Yes. You're still going, aren't you?
I don't know.
I need to know because if you flake, then I'm going to go with him, I respond. Landon would probably much rather I go with him, but the two of them could use some bonding time together. I know they'll never be friends really, but it would help tremendously if they got along better.
Fine, fuck. I'll go.
He sighs and climbs into the car. Thank you, I smile, and he rolls his eyes. A half hour later, we pull into his usual spot in the parking lot of our apartment. How are your classes? I ask him. Hate them all except yoga? I try to lighten up the mood.
Yes, except yoga. Yoga was certainly interesting.
He turns to look at me. Really? How so? I chew on my bottom lip in an attempt to appear innocent.
I think it has something to do with a blonde.
He smirks, and I tense. Excuse me?
You didn't see the hot blonde next to me? You're really missing out, babe. You should see the way her ass looks in those yoga pants.
I scowl and open the car door.
Where are you going?
He asks. Inside. It's cold in this car.
Aw, Tess. Are you jealous of the girl in yoga?
Harden teases. No.
Yes, you are.
He challenges me, and I roll my eyes while I climb out of the car. I'm a little surprised when I hear his boots clumping on the concrete behind me. Pulling the heavy glass door open, I go inside and am at the elevator before I remember that I forgot my bag in the car.
You're an idiot,
he chuckles. Excuse me? I look up at him.
You think I'd be looking at some random blonde when you're there? When I can look at you? Especially in these pants, I am not looking and literally cannot look at anyone else. I was referring to you.
He takes a long stride toward me, and I step back against the cold lobby wall. I practically pout. Well, I saw her trying to flirt with you. I don't like the way jealousy feels. It is the most obnoxious emotion possible.
You silly girl.
He takes one more step to bring his body to mine and then leads us into the elevator. Cupping my cheek, he forces me to make eye contact.
How can you not comprehend what you do to me?
He asks, inches away from my mouth. I don't know, I squeak when his free hand grabs mine and leads it down to his shorts.
This is what you do.
He shifts his hips so his erection fills my hand. Oh, my head is swimming.
You'll be saying much more than oh,
he begins, but is interrupted when the elevator stops at the next floor.
You've got to be kidding me,
he groans when a woman and her three children step into the elevator. I try to step away from him, but he wraps his arm around my waist, refusing to let me move. One of the children begins to cry, which makes Harden huff in annoyance. I begin to imagine how humorous it would be if the elevator stalled and we were trapped inside with the crying child. Fortunately for Harden, the doors open moments later and we step out into the hall.
I literally despise children,
he complains as we reach our apartment. When he unlocks the door, cold air flows out from the apartment. Did you turn the heat off? I ask him when we walk inside.
No, it was on this morning.
Harden walks over to the thermostat and curses under his breath.
It says it's 80 degrees in here, when it's clearly not. I'll call maintenance.
I nod and grab the blanket from the back of the couch and wrap it around myself before sitting down.
Yes, it isn't working and it's cold as fuck in here.
Harden speaks into the receiver.
30 minutes? No, that won't work. I don't give a shit. I pay a small fortune to live here, and I won't have my girlfriend freezing to death,
he says, then corrects himself.
I won't have it freezing in here.
He glances over at me and I look away.
Fine. 15 minutes, no longer.
He barks into the phone and tosses it against the couch.
They're sending someone up to fix it,
he tells me. Thank you, I smile at him, and he sits down next to me on the couch. I open the front of the blanket and reach for him. When he scoots closer, I climb onto his lap and thread my fingers through his hair and tug lightly.
What are you doing?
His hands rest on my hips. You said we have 15 minutes. I brush my lips along his jaw and he shivers. I feel his jaw move into a smile.
Are you coming on to me, Tess?
Harden, I whine to prevent him from teasing me further.
I'm joking. Now take your clothes off,
he demands, but his hands lift the bottom of my shirt, contradicting his own command.
Chapter 69. Harden. Goosebumps rise on her skin as my fingertips slide down her arms. I know she's cold, but I would like to think they're partly caused by me. My fingers wrap around her arms more forcefully when she shifts on my lap, pushing her hips down onto me to create the friction that I want and need. I have never wanted someone so much, so often. Yes, I've fucked plenty of girls, but that was just about the thrill, about the bragging rights. It was never about being closer to them the way it is with Tess. With her, it's about the sensation, about the way these small bumps raise on her skin from my touch, the way she'll complain that having goosebumps makes her have to shave more frequently, and I will roll my eyes at her even though I find it humorous, the way she whimpers when I bring her lip between my teeth and it makes that noise when it snaps back, and, most importantly, the way that we're doing something that only her and I share. No one has or will ever be close to her in this way. Her small fingers move to unclasp her bra as I suck on the skin just above the cup. I stop her. We don't have long, I remind her, and she pouts, making me want her even more. Then hurry and get undressed, she softly demands. I love the way she's becoming more and more comfortable with me as the days pass. You know I don't have to be told twice. I wrap my hands around her hips and lift her off, moving her over the couch a bit. I remove my shorts and boxers before gesturing for her to lie down. As I grab a condom from my wallet on the table, she slides her pants off. Those damn yoga pants. I've never, in my entire 20 years of life, seen anything so sexy. I don't have a fucking clue what it is about them. Maybe the way they cling to her thighs, showing every heavenly curve. Or maybe because they display her ass perfectly. But either way, they're going to have to become what she wears around the house at all times. You really have to get on birth control. I don't want to use these anymore. I gripe, and she nods, staring at my fingers while they roll the condom on. I mean it, though. I'm going to remind her every morning. Tessa surprises me by pulling my arm in an attempt to force me to sit down on the cushion next to her. What? I ask, catching on to what she's doing, but I want to hear her say it. I love the innocence she possesses, but I know she's so much dirtier than she allows herself to admit. Another trait that only I am aware of. She glares at me, and time is short, so I decide not to taunt her. Instead, I sit down and immediately pull her onto me, wrapping my fingers in her hair and attaching my lips to hers. I swallow the moans and cries coming from her lips as I lower her onto me. We both sigh, and her eyes roll back, nearly making me come on the spot. Next time we'll be slow, baby, but this time we only have a few minutes left. Okay. I groan into her ear as she rotates her full hips. Mm-hmm, she moans. I take that as my cue to pick up the pace. My arms wrap around her back and pull her close to me so that our chests are touching, and I lift my hips at the same time she's rotating hers. The feeling is indescribable. I can barely breathe as we both move faster. We don't have long, and for once I'm desperate to finish quickly. Talk to me, Tess, I beg, knowing she will be shy, but hoping that if I slam into her hard enough, tug at the ends of her hair hard enough, she will gain the courage to speak to me in a way she has before. Okay, she pants, and I move faster. Harden! Her voice is shaky, and she bites her lip to calm herself, turning me on even more. The pressure begins to build in my stomach. Harden, you feel so good. She gains confidence, and I curse under my breath. You are already whining, and I haven't said anything, she boasts. Her smug tone brings me to the edge and pushes me over. Her body trembles and stiffens, and I watch her climax. It's like she's just as, if not more, captivating each time she comes. This is why I cannot get enough of her and never will. A knock at the door brings us both back from our post-orgasm, almost sedated state, and she jumps off me in an instant. She grabs her shirt off the floor as I remove the spent condom and pick up my clothes from the floor. Give me a minute, I call out. Tessa lights a candle and begins to rearrange the decorative pillows on our couch. What is with the candle? I ask as I dress and make my way toward the front door. It smells like sex in here, she whispers, despite the fact that the maintenance worker can't hear her. She frantically runs her fingers through her hair. My only response is a chuckle and a shake of my head just before I pull open the door. The man on the other side of the door is tall, taller than me, and has a full beard. His brown hair touches his shoulders, and he looks to be at least 50.
Heat's out, right?
His raspy voice asks. He has clearly smoked too many cigarettes. Yes, why else would it be 20 degrees in this apartment? I reply, and watch as his eyes land on my Tessa. Of course she would be bending over to retrieve her cell phone charger from the basket under the table, and of course she would be wearing the fucking yoga pants while doing so. And of course this greasy man with a damn beard would be checking out her ass. And of course she would stand back up and be oblivious to the entire exchange. Hey Tess, why don't you go in the bedroom until it's fixed? I say. It's warmer in there.
No, I'm okay. I'll stay out here with you.
She shrugs and sits down on the chair. My patience is wearing thin, and when she lifts her arms behind her head to tie her hair up, and she's practically giving this asshole a show, it takes everything in me not to drag her into the room. I must be staring angrily at her, because she looks over at me and then says,
Okay,
clearly puzzled. She gathers her schoolbooks in her arms and stalks into the bedroom. Fix the fucking heater, I snap at the old perv. He gets to work silently and stays quiet, so he must be smarter than I assumed. After a few minutes, Tessa's phone vibrates on the end table, and I take it upon myself to answer it when I see that the screen reads Kimberly. Hello?
Harden?
Kimberly's voice is so high-pitched, I have no idea how Christian can stand it. It must be her looks that drew him in, probably in a club when he couldn't hear her very well.
Yes, let me get Tess.
I open the bedroom door to find Tessa lying across the bed with a pen between her teeth, her feet kicking in the air behind her.
Kimberly is on the phone,
I explain, tossing the cell on the bed next to her. She snatches it up and says,
Hey, Kim, is everything okay?
A few seconds pass before she says,
Oh no, that's terrible.
I raise my brow at her, but she doesn't notice.
Oh, okay, let me speak to Harden about it. It'll only take a second. I'm sure it'll be fine.
She removes the phone from her ear and covers the bottom with her hand.
Christian caught some sort of stomach flu, and Kim needs to take him to the hospital. It's nothing too serious, but his babysitter isn't available,
she whispers. So? I shrug.
They don't have anyone to watch Smith.
And you're telling me this because...
She wants to know if we can.
She chews on the inside of her cheek. There is no way in hell she's suggesting that she wants to babysit that child.
Can what?
Tessa sighs.
Babysit, Harden.
Nope, absolutely not.
Why not? He's a good kid.
She whines.
No, Tessa, this isn't a daycare. Not happening.
Tell Kim to buy him some Tylenol and some chicken soup and call it a day.
Harden, she's my friend and he's my boss, who is sick. I thought you cared for him.
She asks and my stomach turns. Of course I like him. He was there for me and my mum when my father was fucking up. But that doesn't mean I want to watch his kid when I already have to go to a hockey game with Landon tomorrow.
I said no,
I say, standing my ground. The last thing I need is some annoying kid with a Kool-Aid moustache messing up my apartment.
Please, Harden, she begs. They don't have anyone else. Please.
I know she's going to say yes regardless. She's just entertaining me. I sigh in defeat and watch a smile grow on her face. Chapter 70. Harden.
Would you stop griping? You're behaving worse than he will, and he's 5.
Tessa scolds me, and I roll my eyes.
I'm just saying, this is all you. You better not touch any of my shit. You agreed to this, so he's your problem, not mine.
I remind her, right as a knock at the door heralds their arrival. Taking a seat on the couch, I let Tessa be the one to open the door. She glares at me, but doesn't make the guests, her guests, wait long before plastering on her biggest and brightest smile and throwing the door to our place open wide. Immediately, Kimberly starts rambling, practically shrieking.
Thank you so much! You have no idea how much of a lifesaver the two of you are right now. I have no idea what we would have done if you couldn't watch Smith. Christian is so sick, he's throwing up everywhere, and we... It's okay, really,
Tess interrupts her. I assume because she doesn't want to hear the gory details of Christian's vomitousness.
Okay, well, he's in the car, so I better get going. Smith is pretty independent. He mostly keeps to himself and will let you know if he needs anything.
She moves to the left, revealing a small boy with dirty blonde hair.
Hey, Smith, how are you?
Tessa says in a strange voice I've never heard her use before. This must be her attempt at baby talk, even though the kid's 5. Only Tessa. The boy doesn't say anything, just gives her a small smile and walks past Kimberly into the living room.
Yeah, he doesn't talk much,
Kimberly tells Tess, noticing the sad look on her face. As humorous as it is that he didn't respond to Tessa, I don't want her to be upset. So the little shit better knock it off and be nice to her.
Okay, I'm really leaving this time.
Kim smiles and closes the door after giving Smith one last wave. Tessa bends down a bit and asks Smith,
Are you hungry?
He shakes his head no.
Thirsty?
Same response, only this time he takes a seat on the couch opposite me.
Do you want to play a game?
Tess, I think he just wants to sit here. I tell her, and watch as her cheeks flush. I flip through the channels on the television, hoping to find something of interest to keep me occupied while Tessa is babysitting.
Sorry, Smith,
she apologizes.
I just want to make sure you're okay.
He nods rather robotically, and I realize that he actually looks an awful lot like his father. His hair is practically the exact color. His eyes are the same shade of green-blue, and I suspect that if he were to smile, he would have the same dimples as Christian. A few minutes of awkward silence pass, during which Tessa stands next to the couch, and I can see her plans unraveling. She had assumed he would come in here full of energy and ready to play with her. Instead, he hasn't spoken a single word or budged from his spot on the couch. His outfit is as immaculate as I figured it would be. His small white tennis shoes look as if they have never been worn. When I glance up from his blue polo shirt, His eyes are on mine. What? I ask. He looks away quickly.
Harden!
Tessa groans. What? All I did was wonder why he was staring at me. I shrug and turn the channel from the garbage I'd accidentally stopped on. The last thing I want to watch is the Kardashians.
Be nice.
She glares at me.
I am,
I say, and shrug my shoulders like, what's the big deal? Tessa rolls her eyes.
Well, I'm going to make dinner. Smith, do you want to come with me or sit with Harden?
I feel his gaze on me, but I choose not to look. He needs to go with her. She's the babysitter here, not me. Go with her, I tell him.
You can stay here, Smith. Harden won't bother you,
she assures him. He stays silent. Surprise. Tessa disappears into the kitchen, and I turn the television up louder to avoid any possible conversation with the rugrat. Not that that is likely to happen anyway. I'm half tempted to go in the kitchen with her and make him sit alone in the living room. Minutes pass, and I begin to grow uncomfortable with him just sitting here. Why the hell isn't he talking or playing, or whatever the hell it is that five-year-olds do? So what's the deal? Why don't you talk? I finally ask. He shrugs. It's rude to ignore people when they're talking to you, I inform him.
It's more rude to ask me why I don't talk,
he fires back. He has a slight British accent, not strong like his father's, but not completely watered down either. Well, at least now I know you're able to speak, I say, kind of thrown off guard by his cheeky response, and not really sure what to say to him.
Why do you want me to talk so bad?
He asks, seeming much older than five. I don't know. Why don't you like to?
I don't know,
he shrugs.
Is everything okay in there?
Tessa calls from the kitchen. For a second, I consider telling her no, that the kid is dead or injured, but the humor is lost with the thought.
Everything is fine,
I yell back. I hope she's finished soon, because I'm finished with this conversation.
Why do you have those things in your face?
Smith asks, pointing to my lip ring. Because I want to. Maybe the better question is, why don't you have any? I say to turn the tables on him, trying not to remember that he's a kid after all.
Did they hurt?
He asks, ducking my question. No, not at all.
They look like it.
He half smiles. He isn't so bad, I guess, but I still don't like the idea of babysitting him.
Almost finished in here,
Tessa calls out.
Okay, I'm just teaching him how to make a homemade bomb out of a soda bottle,
I tease, which causes her to poke her head around the corner to check on us. She's mental, I tell him, and he laughs, dimples showing.
She's pretty,
he whispers into cupped hands. Yeah, she is, isn't she? I nod and look up at Tess with her hair pulled up into some sort of nest on top of her head, her yoga pants and a plain T-shirt still on, and I nod again. She's beautiful, and she doesn't even have to try. I know she can hear us still, and I catch a glimpse of her smile as she turns to finish her task in the kitchen. I don't get why she's smiling like that. So what if I'm talking to this kid? He's still annoying, like all the other half-sized humans.
Yeah, really pretty,
he agrees again.
Okay, calm down, little dude. She's mine, I tease.
He looks at me with an O for a mouth.
You're what? Your wife?
No, fuck no, I scoff.
Fuck no,
he repeats.
Shit, don't say that.
I reach across the couch to cover his mouth.
Don't say shit,
he asks, shaking free of my hand.
No, don't say shit or fuck.
This is one of the many reasons I shouldn't be around kids.
I know they're bad words,
he tells me, and I nod.
So don't say them,
I remind him.
Who is she if she isn't your wife?
God, he's a nosy little shit. She's my girlfriend. I should have never got this kid talking in the first place. He folds his hands together and looks up at me like a little priest or something.
You want her to be your wife?
No, I don't want her to be my wife. I say slowly but clearly, so he can hear me and maybe get it this time.
Ever?
Never.
And you have a baby?
No, hell no.
Where do you get these things?
Just hearing them aloud is stressing me out.
Why do...
He starts to ask, but I cut him off. Stop asking so many questions. I groan, and he nods before grabbing the remote out of my hand and changing the channel. Tessa hasn't checked up on us in a few minutes, so I decide to go into the kitchen and see if she's almost finished. Tess, are you almost done? Because he's talking way too much. I complain, grabbing a piece of broccoli from the dish she's preparing. She hates when I eat before a meal is ready, but there is a 5-year-old in my living room, so I can eat this damn broccoli.
Yeah, just another minute or two.
She answers without looking at me. Her tone is strange, and something seems off.
You okay?
I ask her when she turns around with glassy eyes.
Yeah, I'm fine. It was just the onions.
She shrugs and turns the faucet on to wash her hands. It's okay. He'll talk to you too. He's warmed up now, I assure her.
Yeah, I know. It's not that. It's just the onions,
she says again. Chapter 71. Harden. The little shit remains mute and just nods when Tessa asks him cheerfully,
Do you like the chicken, Smith?
It's really good, I say over-enthusiastically, to soften the blow of the kid still not wanting to speak to her. She gives me an appreciative smile, but doesn't meet my eyes. The rest of the meal is eaten in silence. While Tessa cleans up the kitchen, I head back into the living room. I can hear the small footsteps following me. Can I help you? I ask and plop down on the couch.
No,
he shrugs, turning his attention to the television. Okay, then. There is literally nothing on tonight.
Is my dad going to die?
The small voice next to me suddenly asks. I look at him. What?
My dad. Will he be dead?
Smith asks, though he looks pretty unfazed by the whole topic. No, he's just sick with food poisoning or something.
My mom was sick, and now she's dead,
he says, and the little quaver in his voice makes me realize he's not immune to the worry, causing me to choke on my own breath. Yeah, that was different. Poor kid.
Why?
Christ, he asks so many questions. I want to call for Tess, but something about the worried expression on his face stops me. He won't even speak to her, so I don't think he would want me to bring her in here. Your dad is just a little sick, and your mum was really sick. Your dad will be fine.
Are you lying?
He speaks well beyond his years, sort of the way I always have. I suppose that is what happens when you're forced to grow up too quickly. No, I would tell you if your dad was going to die, I say, and mean it.
You would?
His bright eyes are shining, and I'm terrified that he may cry. I have no fucking idea what I would do if he cried right now. Run. I would run into the other room and hide behind Tessa.
Yep.
Now let's talk about something a little less morbid.
What's morbid?
Something that's twisted and fucked up, I explain.
Bad word,
he scolds me. It's okay for me to say because I'm an adult.
Still a bad word.
You said two of them earlier. I could tell your dad on you, I threaten.
I'll tell your pretty girl on you,
he counters, and I can't help but laugh. Okay, You win, I say, gesturing for him to just stay put. Tessa peers around the corner.
Smith, do you want to come in here with me?
Smith looks at her, then looks back up at me and asks,
Can I stay with Harden?
I don't...
She begins, but I interrupt. Fine. I sigh and hand the kid the remote.
Chapter 72. Tessa. I watch as Smith settles in on the couch, scooting slightly closer to Harden. Harden looks at him with caution, but doesn't stop him or say anything about his proximity. It's ironic that Smith seems to like Harden when Harden clearly despises children. Though since Smith feels in some ways more like a country gentleman from an Austen novel, he may or may not be included in that category. Never, he said to Smith when he asked about marrying me. Never. He never plans on having a future with me. I knew this somewhere deep inside, but it still hurts me to hear him say it, especially the cold and confident way he said it, like it was a joke or something. He could have softened the blow, even just a little. I don't want to be married right now, obviously, not for years. But it's the idea that it isn't even a possibility that hurts me, a lot. He says that he wants to be with me forever, yet he doesn't want to be married? Are we supposed to just be boyfriend and girlfriend forever? Am I okay with never having children? Will he love me enough to make this all okay, despite the future I had always envisioned for myself? I honestly don't know, and my head is pounding thinking about it. I don't want to obsess about the future right now. I'm only 19. We've been getting along so well, and I don't want to ruin that. After the kitchen is clean and the dishwasher is loaded, I check on Harden and Smith once more before going into the bedroom to get my things ready for tomorrow. My phone rings as I lay out a long black skirt for tomorrow. Kimberly. Hey, is everything okay? I ask after answering. Yeah, everything is okay. They're giving him some antibiotics and we should be getting sent home soon. It may be late. I hope that's okay, she says. Of course it is. Do what you need to do. How is Smith doing? He's good. He's actually hanging out with Harden, I tell her, still not believing it myself. She laughs heartily. Really? Harden? Yeah, tell me about it. I roll my eyes and make my way back into the living room. Well, that's unexpected, but it's good training for when you have little Hardens running around the house, she teases. Her words tug at my heart, and I bite down on my lip. Yeah, guess so. I want to change the subject before the lump in my throat grows any larger. Well, we'll be done soon, hopefully. Smith's bedtime is 10, but since it's already 10, just let him stay up until you want him to go to sleep. Thank you again, Kimberly says, and hangs up. I make a quick stop in the kitchen to pack a small lunch for tomorrow. I'll just bring leftovers from tonight. Why? I hear Smith ask Harden.
Because they're trapped on the island.
Why?
Their plane crashed.
How come they're not dead?
It's a show.
A stupid show, Smith says, and Harden laughs.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Harden shakes his head in amusement, and Smith giggles. They look alike in some ways. The dimples, the shape of their eyes, and their smiles. I imagine that, except for the blonde hair and shade of eyes, Harden looked much like Smith when he was younger. Is it okay if I go to bed, or do you want me to watch him? I ask Harden. He looks at me, then at Smith.
That's cool. We're just watching mindless television anyway, he says.
Okay, good night, Smith. I'll see you in a bit when Kim is here to get you, I tell him. He looks over at Harden, then back to me and smiles. Night, he whispers. I turn to go back into the room, but I'm stopped by Harden's fingers wrapping around my arm.
Hey, no good night to me?
He pouts. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I hug him and give him a kiss on the cheek. Good night, I say, and he hugs me again.
You sure you're okay?
He asks, pushing my shoulders back so he can look at me. Yeah, I'm just really tired, and he wants to hang out with you anyway. I smile weakly.
I love you,
he tells me and kisses my forehead. I love you, I respond, and hurry to the bedroom and close the door behind me. Chapter 73. Tessa. The next day, the weather is nice, with no snow and minimal slush on the sides of the road. When I get to Vance, Kimberly is sitting at her desk, and she smiles at me as I grab my usual donut and coffee. "I didn't even know you came last night. I fell asleep," I tell her. "I know. Smith was sleeping, too." "Thank you again," she says, and her phone rings. My office feels strange after being on campus yesterday. Sometimes it seems as though I live a double life. One half a college student, one half full adult. I have an apartment with my boyfriend and a paid internship that honestly feels like a job, not an internship. I love both halves, and if I had to choose, I would choose the adult life, but with Hardin. I dive into my work, and lunchtime comes quickly. After several duds, I hit upon a manuscript that is really captivating, and I find myself eating quickly so I can get back and finish it. I hope they find a cure for the main character's illness. I'll be heartbroken if he passes. The rest of the day goes quickly, and I am completely withdrawn from the world and fully enveloped in the manuscript, which ends terribly sadly. With tears staining my cheeks, I leave for the day and head home. I haven't heard from Hardin once since I left him asleep and grumpy in bed, and I can't stop thinking about his words from last night. I need a distraction from ruminations. Sometimes I wish I could just shut my mind off the way other people seem to be able to do. I don't like that I overthink everything, but I can't help it. It's who I am. And now all I can think of is Hardin and me not having a future. Still, I really need to do something to get my mind off obsessing over this. He is who he is, and he doesn't want to ever get married or have children. Maybe I should call Steph after I go to Connor's to get groceries and do a load of laundry, since Hardin and Landon will be going to the hockey game tonight. God, I hope that goes well. When I arrive at the apartment, I find Hardin reading in the bedroom.
"Hey, sexy. How was your day?"
he asks as I walk in. "It was okay, I guess."
"What's wrong?"
Hardin looks up at me. "The manuscript I read today was so sad. Incredible, but so heartbreaking," I say, trying not to get emotional again.
"Oh, it must have been good if you're still upset about it."
He smiles.
"I would hate to have been there the first time you read A Farewell to Arms."
I plop down next to him on the bed. This was worse. So much worse. He grabs hold of my shirt, pulling me to lay my head on his shoulder.
"My sensitive girl."
As he runs his fingers up and down my spine, the way he spoke the words he just uttered makes my stomach flutter. To be called my girl in any form makes me much happier than it should. "Did you even go to classes today?" I ask him.
"Nope. Watching the mini-human wore me out."
"By watching, you mean watching TV with him?"
"Same thing. I did more than you did."
"So you like him then?" I'm not sure why I'm asking this.
"No. Well, as far as annoying children go, he isn't at the top of the list. But I won't be planning any playdates soon."
He smiles. I roll my eyes but don't say anything else about Smith. "Are you ready for the game tonight?"
"No, I already told him I'm not going."
"Hardin, you have to go," I shriek.
"I'm teasing. He'll be here soon. You owe me for this shit, Tess."
Hardin groans. "You like hockey, though, and Landon is good company."
"Not as good of company as you."
He kisses my cheek. "You're in a good mood for someone who acts like they're being led to slaughter."
"If this goes badly, I won't be the one who's slaughtered."
"You'd better be nice to Landon tonight," I warn him. He raises his hands in mock innocence, but I know better. A knock is heard at the door, but Hardin stays put.
"He's your friend. You answer the door,"
he says. I give him a look, but go answer the door. Landon is dressed in a hockey jersey, blue jeans, and tennis shoes.
"Hey, Tessa,"
he says with his usual friendly smile and a hug for a greeting.
"Can we get this over with?"
Hardin says before I can even say hello.
"Well, I can see this will be a fun night,"
Landon jokes and runs a hand over his short hair.
"It'll be the best night of your entire life,"
Hardin teases him. "Good luck," I tell Landon, who just chuckles.
"Oh, Tess, he's just showing off, trying to act like he isn't excited to spend time with me."
Landon smiles, and it's Hardin's turn to roll his eyes. "Well, this is too much testosterone for me, so I'm going to change and run some errands. You two have fun," I say, leaving the men to their little games.
Chapter 74. Hardin. As Landon and I push our way through the crowd, I groan and ask, "Why the hell is it so crowded already?" He gives me a look with a little attitude behind it. "Because you made us late. The game doesn't start for another 15 minutes. I usually come an hour early," he explains. "Of course you do. Even when I'm not with Tessa, I'm with Tessa," I complain. Landon and Tessa are literally the same person when it comes to their annoying need to be the first and best at everything they do. "You should feel honored to be with Tessa," he tells me. "Stop being a dick and we might actually enjoy the game," I tell him forcefully, but can't help the smile that appears on my face at his annoyance. "Sorry, Landon. I'm honored to be with her,"